Ava kunja bihari. Kunjabi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Harivaja Gacharar Jasta Tarasata Sisi Madhis Divine Grace Easy Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanandi. Welcome to those who are from out of town and from other countries. We're going to discuss this morning Canto 10, Chapter 10, Text 37, Deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna Trees. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Anujanihi Nabhomangs Tavano Chara Kinkarao Darshanam Nau Bhagavata. Rishir Asid Anugrahat Anujani Hinao Bhomams Tavano Chara Kinkarao Darshanam Nau Bhagavata. Rishir Asid Anugrahat. Please chant. Anujani Hinao Bhomams Tavano Chara Kinkarao Darshanam Nau Bhagavata. Rishir Asid Anugrahat. No, we're going to have the men chant, and just a little. Initiated devotees should chant before the uninitiated devotees, is that okay? So, you please chant. Anujanihi nabhumams Tavano charana vinkarao Darshanam na bhagavata. Rishir asid anugrahat. Anujanihi nau bhomams Tavano chara kinkarao Darshanam na bhagavata. Rishir asid anugrahat. Shri bhomams Tavano chara kinkarao Darshanam na bhagavata. Rishir asid anugrahat. Someone else, please. Anukranihi na bhomams Tavanu kinkarao Darshanam na bhagavata. Vrishir Asid Anugrahat. Go ahead, Dali, you chant. Anugranihi nao bho mams tavat no chara kinkarao darshanam nao bhagavata rishir asid anugrahat anujanihi. May we have permission now, we Bhoman, O greatest universal form, Tava Anuchara Kinkarao, because of being servants of your most confidential devotee, Narada Muni, Darshanam, to see personally, now of us, Bhagavata, of you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishi, of the great Saint Narada. Asit, there was, in the form of a curse, Anugrahat, from the mercy. Translation, O Supreme Form, we are always servants of your servants, especially of Narada Muni. Now, give us permission to leave for our home. It is by the grace and mercy of Narada Muni that we have been able to see you face to face. Purport. Unless delivered or blessed by a devotee, one cannot realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manushanam sahasreshu kashtyad yatati siddhaye. According to this verse of Bhagavad Gita 7.3, there are so many siddhas or yogis who cannot understand Krishna. Instead, they misunderstand him. But if one takes shelter of a devotee descending from the parampara system of Narada Muni, Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, one can then understand who is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age, many pseudo-incarnations are advertised simply for having exhibited some magical performances. But except for persons who are servants of Narada or other servants of Krishna, no one can understand who is God or who is not. This is confirmed by Narottam Das Thakur, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payeche Keva. Or, no one is delivered from the material conception of life unless favored by a Vaishnava. Others can never understand, neither by speculation nor by any other bodily or mental gymnastics. Prabhupada's so good with words. So for those who have just joined us, chapter 10 is describing, we're nearing the end of the chapter, it's been describing how Nalakuvera and Manigriva, who were the sons of Kuvera, the treasure of heaven, were intoxicated with pride and intoxicated with some other kind of substance, liquor, And shamelessly were standing naked before Narada Muni, along with naked ladies they were enjoying with when Narada went to visit his friend, Lord Shiva. So Narada considered, he wasn't angry. They had offended him, but he wasn't feeling offended. He was feeling these poor young men. What can be done to help them overcome this pride? And so a whole series of contemplations ended in, best if they're deprived of their wealth and their elevated birth position as sons of Kuvera, so that in that deprived condition their pride can subside, and then they can become eligible for devotional service. And so he gave a curse and a benediction. The curse was, you want to stand naked? Very well, you can stand naked as a tree. An Arjuna or Yamala Arjuna tree. The detail is, according to our acharyas, Yamala Arjuna trees have a very deep root system and they're very hard wood. So when Krishna pulled over the trees, it was not easy for a worldly person, but for Krishna it was easy. So they became trees, but the benediction was, in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna will deliver you after your pride is gone. So that's what happened. Krishna delivered them after their pride was gone. And then they emerged from those two fallen trees in their Nalakuvira Manigriva form with folded palms, offering wonderful prayers to Krishna. And this is the conclusion almost of their prayers to Krishna. So that's what we're hearing. And they said many, many nice things, endowed with transcendental knowledge. And now the conclusion is, we'll hear in a moment Sanatana Goswami's explanation of why don't they just stay and serve Krishna? And the answer is because they're embarrassed. And they're not feeling fit to continue staying in Krishna's presence. So they're making this request after glorifying and glorifying and glorifying Krishna. They're making a request to return to their home. So their home is as sons of Kuvera. They've been trees for a long time, but Kuvera's missed his sons. And they're going to go back and become residents in the palace of Kuvera. So Kuvera is in the heavenly planets. He's the treasurer of heaven. And Kuvera is a great, renowned devotee of Lord Shiva, who grants wealth to those who want wealth, his devotees. And so Kuvera is very wealthy and a great devotee of Lord Shiva. And those are the two things, three things, that they were, that was the source of their pride. Birth, dear to Lord Shiva because of their father's qualification, and wealthy. Janma, Aishwara, and Shri. They were very beautiful. So their pride, they were proud. So the pride was removed, their hearts were made clean. They received Narada's curse and benediction. That's right in the text. Asit. Rishir Asit. Anugrahat. Anugrahat means mercy, and Asit means there was a curse, but the curse was a mercy, because Narada didn't want to just like let them have it, punish them. He wanted them to be elevated. So it looked like bad. He cursed them to become trees. But it was a benediction. It was mercy. Because, and that's what they're saying, by the mercy of Narada, we're seeing you. So who is eligible to see? These were denizens of heaven, intoxicated with liquor and wealth and prestige, and they were partying, literally, not just figuratively, basking in their opulence. That's heaven. And they were, you know, full on in the heavenly enjoyments of very privileged personalities. Sometimes that happens with people that are wealthy and high birth and aristocracy and all those things. They get carried away. So Narada's mercy, that was removed. Now they're going back. So why would they want to go back to that which was conducive to the enjoying spirit and pride? Well, the answer is they were embarrassed. They were ashamed of standing before the personality of Godhead. So they had become pure devotees by Narada's mercy, and because of that pure devotion and mercy of Narada, they were able to see the Supreme Lord, and now they're returning. They're not like eager to go back and become enjoyers again. They're going back in, you can say, a mission to give pure devotion to people in the heavenly planets. That's a nice mission. They need it, as do we. And the lower planets also. So he was Krishna's representative, Narada's representative in that situation. For those of you that were not with us yesterday's verse was names of Krishna. So they're wrapping up their prayers and summarizing Krishna's pastimes simply by saying names of Krishna. And one of those names from yesterday's verse was Vasudevaya, Yadunam. So Yadunam, Yadu refers to the Yadu dynasty. So Krishna, one of the meanings of Yadunam, Krishna was of the Yadu dynasty. So his father, Vasudev, is in that line of Yadu. And so Krishna is a Yadu. But then we heard yesterday, there's references from Skanda Purana where the term Yadu also refers to the cowherd men. So Krishna is a cowherd. There's details, but specifically two references where the cowherd men are also considered Yadus. So they're honoring the exaltedness of the cowherds. Krishna amongst the cowherds. And glorifying, just as Yadu is being glorified by Krishna's appearance in the Yadu dynasty, otherwise we wouldn't even hear Yadu's name. We're hearing Yadu's name because of Krishna's appearance. He's glorifying the forefathers in his family line because he's a great devotee, King Yadu. And the cowherds are great devotees. So Krishna's birth as the son of Vasudev and in the line of Yadu is glorifying Vasudev and the Yadus. It's just an aspect or a glory of Krishna decorating his devotees. So I'm going to read the commentary of Sanatan Goswami on this verse. It's Jiva Goswami. Having praised the Lord, thinking it unsuitable to remain there as devatas at an improper time, lamenting their position as trees, they speak. So that's like their feelings, the place, the mood from which they're expressing themselves. Please permit us to go, O Lord. Or, please give us some instruction, Lord, perfect in all respects. Though you do not need anything, please give us an order to fulfill out of affection for the devotees. They speak, so this is now referencing another Sanskrit term in the verse. We are servants of Lord Shiva. So they are servants of Lord Shiva because their father's a servant of Lord Shiva, so that's what they were in the heavenly planet. So they're offering respects to many devotees, is Jiva Goswami's point. Lord Shiva, not saying his name, but saying the great devotees. Or, we are servants of Narada, since he, by mercy, gave us this result. So it wasn't Lord Shiva that gave the result, it was Narada. That was Narada's curse that's actually mercy. Therefore, Prabhupada just speaks of Narada. But they have devotion for Lord Shiva as well. Or, allow us to be servants of your followers at all times, or allow us to be servants of your cowherds. Please make us their servants and keep us in that position. Krishna, oh, that is very rare. They reply, we have seen you by the mercy of Narada, who is most merciful, Bhagavataha, and as inconceivable prema, we aspire for that. Since we have attained what is unobtainable, though we were the greatest offenders. So there's two words that are being highlighted here from the verse. Anu chara. Anu means to follow. And they follow the conduct, the character. They follow the nature of the devotees. And kinkara. Kinkara means servant. So they're servants of Narada. They're servants of Lord Shiva. They're servants of all the devotees, they're servants of the cowherds. Although previously they were in this excessively proud position, they're now freed from pride. And in that condition of being freed from pride, they have recognized who they are. Eternally servants of the devotees of the Lord. Lord Shiva, Narada, the cowherd men, and all the devotees of the Lord. That's who we are, these two. And when one is seeing oneself as a servant of the devotees of the Lord, one is connected with the Lord. One is connected with Krishna, whether he's physically present or not physically present. something like what Prabhupada says in response to people who say, why go to the temple? God is everywhere. To that he would say, if God is everywhere, he's in the temple. So why not go to the temple? And in the temple, there's his deity form. In the temple, there's kirtan. In the temple, there's worship of the Lord's pure devotee. In the temple, there's discussion in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. There's the presence of the Lord and his pure devotees by the very nature of what a temple is. Let's go to the temple. Now, someone may say, well, we can do all those things in our home. That's fine. Do all those things in your home and go to the temple. Why not go to the temple and do all the things in your home? Do both. Make your home a temple and make the and visit the temple. Because in the temple, there's many devotees. At least when there is, Prabhupada's expression, life attracts life. Besides, life comes from life. Life attracts life. Meaning, in many of the temples in the United States and Canada, previously they were churches, and they were sold because the churches were empty. And those churches that were empty were purchased, and now there's many people. So how is it there's many people? Because there's kirtan, and there's Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita discussion, morning and evening. There's deity worship. And so there are people. I mean, this temple, for various reasons, there was a period of time when we didn't have an evening program. For various reasons, very few devotees, etc. Still, people would come for the evening arti. And now, when there's an evening arti and kirtan, I'm really amazed at how many people come. I mean, it's not every evening, but every evening there's kirtan, and there's a lot of people that come. And as soon as the kirtan is over and the arti is over, they go. But we're here to please Krishna, and that's one of the ways of pleasing Krishna, not just ring a bell and offer some incense, but kirtan for the pleasure of Krishna. When the pleasure of Krishna is being performed by the devotees, it brings life. Life attracts life. And it gives us life. It revives our life of Krishna consciousness, morning and evening. And then various ways of serving Krishna, etc. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is one of those Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. It's one of those injunctions within the Bhagavatam itself. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashlokye Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtuki. Bhakti Bhavati, bhakti awakens, becomes manifest. Bhavati is like voila in French. There it is. Bhakti is dormant, and bhakti bhavati, bhakti becomes awakened by nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya, bhagavata sevaya. Hearing regularly, actually it means hearing eternally, but hearing regularly. So we have our regular hearing activities, and unless there's some necessary at a particular time service, we should be participating. And compliments of technology, that little camera over there is broadcasting the class for people who are remote. There's a devotee I know who has recent surgery and they're practically bedridden for some time, unable to visit the temple. They wanted to know what to do. So there's so many online, just go online and watch Mangalarti practically all day long. Didi Darshan in Mayapur, and Didi Darshan here, and Didi Darshan morning class over in Los Angeles and over in Alachua. And you can stay in your home and go to so many temples all around the world without the airfare and jet lag. Compliments. So that's good use of technology. There's bad use of technology too, but hearing these purposes of Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya can be fulfilled. And serving the person's Bhagavata, the book Bhagavata and the person's Bhagavata. That's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, worldwide, international. There was somebody actually did a calculation. In every time zone in the world, well, not in the Pacific Ocean or Atlantic Ocean, but in every time zone where there's a continent, there's a Mangalarti and a Mangalarti and a Mangalarti and a Mangalarti and a Mangalarti, etc. Somebody over here goes over there by their job or their circumstance of life, and there's association. Just a little sharing, then I'm going to end. In the flight that I had from Los Angeles to Chicago, seated right next to me was a young man who saw me chanting and, you know, dressed in a dhoti. He started a conversation after some time and said, well, just add what he didn't right away say what he was up to. He wanted to know what I was up to. Like, you know, do you do meditation? So it turns out he was exploring meditation, and he was like, he just found stuff online. No teacher, no teaching, no books, just online, this and that. And he used terms I never heard before. Do you know anything about such and such meditation? Never heard the term. He kept saying it and saying it. So that's what he's been doing, because he found it online. And then when I was sharing with him about meditation on sacred sound and spiritual sound, then he wanted to know what's the difference between spiritual and other sound, etc., etc., etc. It was like all new to him. He was curious. He wanted to know. And I said, I could arrange to send you some books. So give me your email address. Or even better, tell me where you're from, and I'll connect you if there's some nearby association. He said, I'm from Tuscaloosa. Now, many of us from Chicago have never heard that word before. Tuscaloosa. But it's, Namaruchi knows because he lived there for a while. It's the home of the University of Alabama. Half of the plane was people who had attended that big football game, the championship between this place and that place, and they were going back to Tuscaloosa. Their team lost. So I said, I'll find out. And I found out, and there's an association in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So now that the person in charge of that association group and Joe are now in touch with one another. So he's got association in Tuscaloosa. You know, it's... what a vision. An International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Without further anecdotal nice stories, Our founder Acharya had a vision that was imparted to him from previous Acharyas, particularly Bhaktisiddhanta and particularly Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that there should be such an association. Vaishnava, Vishva, Vishva means universe, Vishva, Raja means king, Sabha, association. International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Rather than saying universal, it's an international. And but Prabhupada said, you know, there's ISKCON in all over the universe. He exported it or something like that. So the vision is big. We're small, but we're part of something that's really big and powerful. We're not big and we're not powerful, but that something is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And there's form to it. And that form is ISKCON. So it's very important that as members of ISKCON, we recognize that we have a function to play on behalf of this thing that's really big and really powerful. And that function is to be representatives of that something that's really big and really powerful. That's, you know, manifesting qualities that show people this is what bhakti looks like, rather than just give them a book and our behavior is something else or our character is something else. It's a big responsibility, a big opportunity to be part of something that's much bigger than us and be a little instrument, just like, you know, plane ride from Los Angeles to Chicago. Let's hope that even if Joe doesn't go the next step, he's had something that he didn't have before. He's had association, he's heard, you know, who he was asking, what is Krishna, you know, are you a monk? And I said, usually people ask, are you a Buddhist monk? That's what people usually ask. And I said, no, I'm not a Buddhist monk, I'm a Krishna monk. Oh, what's that? So Krishna, 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 they're just that. It's a permanent benefit for Bhakti Joe. And then the next step, even if he doesn't go the next step, but let's see if he goes the next step. I won't, you know, sometime later I'll write to him and say, hey Joe, how's it going? Did you get your Bhagavad Gita? Did you try mantra meditation? Because relationships are important. Somebody who introduces us to Krishna consciousness, that's special. That person is forever special in our lives. There's other persons that also become special. Maybe more special, but the special shouldn't just disappear. Connect us to Krishna once again. Any discussion? Yes.
You mentioned to be representative, proper representative of ISKCON. In one sense, we have to be free, or at least quite further in the path of keeping our pride at bay, and also this doership mentality, etc., etc., and to be more or less situated just like the two brothers into this mood of I'm the servant of the servant of
yes.
the servant.
Yes.
And being trained in Krishna consciousness, you think like that. You try, you take that. However, pride In one sense, is I connected it in some sense to self-worth, and
is one sense in itself worse?
Self-worth, yes.
Self-worth. Worth. There's the positive and there's a negative. There's a spiritual and there's a material sense of self-worth. Go ahead.
Yes. So that in one, well, material in one sense, because that would still, you know, sort of affected, I can say, from itself. But it propels you to do, to work, to it's very much connected with doing something. Now, I wanted to ask you about to be able to be effective and to be able to properly represent, we have to keep that at bay. We have to remind ourselves. So when you do that, you, I remember you always mentioned, you know, we have to think in terms of you're in the mood of service. You do everything in the mood of service. So
what's the punchline? Please get to the punchline.
Yeah, I'm trying to
make, I know, it up, but try to get there quicker.
Thank you. Yeah, the cultivation or the proper thing, what are the steps, you know, what things can we do, what things, how can we get there to have this proper mood constantly, to keep this pride at bay that, you know, basically always keep coming, you know.
In two words, sadhu sangha. And from sadhu sangha comes many things. But bhajana kriya follows sadhu sangha. And when sadhu sangha is right, that is, our mood towards sadhu and sadhus that are qualified, then we do bhajana kriya in the mood of service, the mood of purification. Mode of goodness is, I want purification. It's a motive. It's not a transcendental motive, but it's a motive. It's a desire, mode of goodness, desire. And then with that purification, chaitha dharpana marjanam, keep going. That's, you know, sadhu sangha helps us keep going. So stay close always to sadhu sangha. And then the unfolding of the answer to your question, steps, will come. The answer I just gave is Kapila Dev's answer to Devahuti's similar question. Sadhu Sangha. Then he expands on it. So if you want to hear an expanded explanation, read chapter 25, canto 3. There's the expanded explanation. The steps, it was, you know, in your question. And then similarly, the writings of our acharyas on the unfolding of bhakti, creeper, the steps. That, you know, say qualitative chanting, because bhajana kriya is you do bhajan with sadhus. You do as the sadhus do, with the sadhus, you do bhajan. Then you want to qualitatively increase. And quantitatively increase in realistic manner, not a unrealistic manner, in a sustainable manner. Qualitative and quantitative increase. Which becomes possible when viraktir anyatra cha. We become detached from other things. So that's another step. But when that detachment from other things takes place, we increase qualitative, quantitative. There's steps, which is your question. And that's all, it's elaborate explanation given. One of my favorite resources is Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's Madhurya Kadambini on this topic, Bhajana Kriya and Anartha Nivritti section. Details of steps.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your class. You were mentioning your experience with Bhakti Joe, and in this verse it says, without the mercy of Vaishnavas, one can't be free or something to that extent.
So, Vaishnava should be free from?
Without the mercy of Vaishnavas, one can't advance. I don't remember what the purport exactly said. Without the mercy of Vaishnavas.
Okay, got it.
This reminds me in chapter 7, verse 14, Prabhupada says the word guna means rope. We're tied by ropes. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, for the word guna, we're bound by chains, and without the mercy of a devotee, we can't be free from this.
Okay, got it.
So my question is regarding one nice quote. It says, forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing you were the prisoner. So my question is that devotees, Prabhupada, they've given us the key to Krishna consciousness. They were merciful to us, but what are some
steps?
They
were what?
They were merciful to us.
Some devotee was merciful to us.
But what are some steps we can move forward to be merciful to ourselves and use the key of forgiveness and other qualities much faster? Because we see sometimes we hold on to grudges for many years. So how can we use that key much faster in this situation?
Sadhu Sangha. Go to, let your heart, let that sadhu sangha gift that you have been given soften the heart. This is character development, as opposed to just getting something and politely, mode of goodness, politely saying thank you. Let it go more deeply to the heart level, not just the behavioral level of saying thank you. Recognize the gift. And when that gift touches the heart, something happens. It's more than just, thank you. It moves the heart. And from that place, then you give back. So it's gratitude cultivation helps dramatically. It helps make it move faster and longer, right? Lifelong. So gratitude, and it's something that one can consciously cultivate. So Sri Radhika, you have a question?
You were explaining how, out of feeling ashamed and embarrassed, the sons of Kuvera were wanting to serve Krishna in separation rather than asking to.
Well, so to speak, they didn't feel fit. Wanting to serve in separation is different than not feeling fit. Should I explain? Yeah. Here's two examples. Vidura. Vidura was very dear to Krishna. Krishna was very dear to Vidura. But when Vidura left the royal assembly, he considered, I've been here in this contaminating association. I'm dirty. I'm not fit. It's not like I prefer service and separation. I need to qualify myself before I can be in Krishna's direct association. I need purification. I'm dirty. So that was his mood. He wasn't dirty, but he was feeling like that. Or there's some other examples. During Prabhupada's time, there were some devotees that, this is my little brahmachari, you know, perspective, they were pushing themselves forward to get Prabhupada's association and pushing themselves forward to get a position and to get sannyas and to get this and to get that and accolades. And they weren't as interested in the mission as they were in, you know, the association. And at those many of those persons, after Prabhupada left, they left. Because they wanted service in association and not service to the mission. And without that service in association, the plug was pulled. I mean, that was never lost, the association they received. But their service was interrupted, let's say that. And there were others that the mission, the instruction, carrying out the orders of, it wasn't like a preference to service and separation. It was a mood of being the menial servant, whatever. I can give some other examples, but get the picture. Not a preference necessarily, service and separation.
So they were willing to take the risk of returning back to the heavenly region where there is possibility.
They felt protected. Living is a risk. Living in the association, living without association, it's a risk. It's a risky place. And here's another sharing on the example of not preferring service and separation. One devotee, some time ago, shared with me that he was requested to be Prabhupada's personal servant. And he declined. And he explained to me his reason for declining, because he said, I have seen very few exceptions. The persons that take that position, they fall down. Because familiarity breeds contempt. And I don't want to leave Prabhupada's service. He wasn't preferring service and separation. He was preferring being careful. So association doesn't mean perfection. Association can mean offense. And, you know, service and separation doesn't mean you're protected either, because there's risk anywhere. Therefore, Prabhupada gave us some standards about go in pairs. Those doing life membership, those doing book distribution, those doing at-risk service. Now, sometimes he sent people along. It was really amazing. One of Prabhupada's disciples, this is anecdotal, but named Shivananda. Really mild, very humble, socially quiet. He sent him alone to Germany. And he stayed. Later he became married, but at that time he was not married, just went alone to a place where he didn't speak the language. And he was protected. You know, I met him later, after he came back to the U.S. You know, I don't know, I can't think of a personality you might know that has the kind of character and qualities as Shivananda, but really gentle person, soft. You know, other persons went here and there that were really, you know, macho type, you know, like aggressive and outgoing. And but the general principle was be careful and etc. So at the same time, take risks, because just being in the world is a risk. If you do this or you do that, you stay in the temple or you go out of the temple, there's risk. The sense of, they had a sense of being protected, and they had a sense of shame, embarrassed. Let me become qualified. Let us become qualified. So. Prabhupada, oh, last question, one more, and then we're going to end.
In the prayer of Uddhava, that he prays that let me be a grass in Vrindavan, so I can get the mercy of Rajavasis and Gopis. So here this Yamalarjuna trees were in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and they are witnessing all the pastimes of Krishna.
Yeah.
And they remember all the pastimes after they get delivered, and then. And they go back, I've heard that they sing these pastimes and relish. So my question is, it's like a benediction for the purification. So how is it a curse? Curse is generally in the negative connotation.
Well, when curses come from personalities like Narada, it's not a curse. But it looks like a curse because become trees. Go from the heavenly planet to the earthly planet and become a tree. That's why it's called a curse. And that being deprived of their wealth and position, etc., looked like a curse. They were up there. Go to the bottom of the hill. Get off the hill, go to the bottom of the hill. Curse. Looks like. So you've understood correctly, but from their mentality that was a curse. And worldly mentality is it's a curse. But Narada is not gonna do anything but benediction. But it looked like, seemingly. To the Prabhupada Ki Jai.